I'm 13 years old. Today is November 26th, and I'm speaking with Karen Brennan, who is my mom. We are recording this interview in Rye, New York. So, Mom, can you tell me about, like, your childhood? Like, what were you like as a child? Were you, like, really bad?
No, I wasn't really bad. I was very shy and not a good student.
Grandma says you were feisty.
Oh, I might have been a little bit. I might have had a smidge of an attitude.
Like, what advice would you give to your teenage self?
To my teenage self, I would tell my teenage self not to worry about what anybody else thinks, because my teenage self was very concerned with playing the perfect part of the perfect teenager, like everybody else is, wearing the exact same jeans everybody else was wearing. Everybody wore the same Timberlands that you guys are trying to wear today. I wore the same exact ones. We all had the same jeans. We all had a pink hairbrush sticking out of our back pockets. I would tell myself not to even think twice about what other people think of me.
Okay. Can you tell me about, like, how you met Dad?
Yes, I met Dad in the hallway of Publishers Clearinghouse in 1994, maybe. And he came around to I had a cube at the time, a cubifice, we called it. It was kind of like an office, but not really. It was really kind of like a cube. So it was a cubifice. And he came around and had no reason to be in my area whatsoever. And he invited me to a party up at his house, which is this house. And
was it a good party or was it, like, really boring?
No, it was a great party.
Who was there? Were, like, the Morials there?
No, we didn't even know them. The Morials didn't live here.
They didn't?
Nope. Oh. It was all people from Publishers Clearinghouse that Daddy did business with. He was a vice president of sales for a commercial printing company, and I worked in direct mail, so we had a lot of contact with each other, and he invited me up here to this party, and he had a lot of people from Publishers Clearinghouse, a lot of people from Reader's Digest, from Condé Nast, all companies that he sold print to. And it was out here on the deck. It was a different deck, but it was out here in the backyard.
Was it like, I don't remember getting, was I alive when we got the deck done?
No.
No?
The deck was done before you. But there was another deck before that. Before this deck, there was another one. It was gray. It was awful. But Dad had a party out there on the deck and whatever. And there were lots of people who wanted to... Lots of single women were here who wanted to go out with Dad. So, when Dad came into the house to do something in the house, I would go outside. And when Dad came outside, I would go inside.
Why would you do that?
Because all the single women were following him around the house. Oh, Michael this, oh, Michael that. And I was like, I'm not having any part of that. I'm not a groupie. I'm not chasing him around the house. I'm leaving. So whatever room he was in, I made sure I was in, not in that room. Because if he was going to come, if he wanted to go out with me, he was going to have to come and get me. So, you know, I would leave, he would come in the room, I would leave the room, and then he would come and find me somewhere else, and there'd be this whole parade of people following him. Oh, Michael, the house is so pretty. Oh, Michael this, oh, Michael that. It was an interesting event. But that's pretty much how your father and I started dating.
When did you realize that you wanted to, like, be with him?
Oh. I don't know. I guess it was...
The party?
It might have been the party. Yeah, because I was having a great time. I was having a great time avoiding him and watching the parade of people go in and out the house. And he was very sweet and adorable. And that was in June of 1995. And I went on vacation right after the party, and I didn't come back for a week. I went to Disney World. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, it was like July 5th, 1995. And your father and I had a date after mm-hmm. that. And we had a great time. We spent the whole summer at the beach. We went to Pennsylvania to the Poconos. We went to Hunter Mountain. All the Murphys were up there, and Mima and Papa, and it was great. We had a great, great summer.
So, what was I like as a kid? Lord. Was I really annoying?
No. There was nothing annoying about you. You were the most beautiful baby in the entire world. You had the most ridiculously adorable face, and everything was fun for you. And I didn't care if you threw peas all over the house. It was adorable.
I remember throwing peas at Ronan.
Yeah, you both threw peas at each other. It was like a pea fight. And I remember the very first time I ever yelled at you.
You do?
Yes.
What was it about?
It was, I still feel guilty about yelling at you about this. But
how old was I?
Oh, God, you must have been two.
I was two?
Two, I'm thinking.
Was it the pea thing?
No. It was socks and socks ties.
I remember the ties. I had
folded all the socks mm-hmm. and put them in a bin, and I told you to just take them in your room and put them in the drawer. And you took them into your room and threw them all up in the air like confetti, so there were little tiny two-year-old socks everywhere. Little balls of socks everywhere. So I went into your room, saw the socks everywhere. I was pretty annoyed. Then I went back into my bedroom where I had been folding the socks and discovered that you had gotten into your father's closet and pulled every single tie off of the tie rack. So there was probably 75 ties in a big heap on the floor.
Wait, he has that many ties?
He has, he's got probably 150 ties.
Why?
Because he can't ever get rid of any of them. He's emotionally attached to his ties. You know, some of them are goofy, and some of them are very serious, and some of them are really old.
The watermelon one.
He's got some goofy ones. But that was the very first time I yelled at you. I was so mad that now I had to go through all of these ties, pull them all out one by one, squeeze them back onto these little
tie hanger
things, mm-hmm. and have it all look organized and neat before Dad came home. And I was mad.
Did he find out?
Sure he did. I'm sure I told him. She probably would have thought it was funny, but at the time, I did not think it was funny. Now, I think it's hilarious, because it was an indication to me of your personality, that you think, you know, it was cute that you thought that was fun. You were having a great time. You were like, ah, mommy!
Are there any, like, funny stories about, like, from when you were growing up?
When I was growing up?
Yeah. Well, like when you were in high school.
When I was in high school. I don't know if there's anything funny about high school. I did the typical things in high school that...
Did you, like, sneak out?
I wouldn't say I actually snuck out. I'm pretty sure my parents knew where I was all the time. But we did goofy things. We... You know what we did that I think you guys don't do so much anymore? We walked all over town. So if we wanted to go to somebody's house, we would all meet and say, okay, we're going to go to the movies. And then after the movies, we would all walk to somebody's house. And it could have been 3 miles away, but we would all walk as a big group of people off to whoever's house. And then because there was no cell phone, mm-hmm. everybody would go off. Let's say, you know, we would all walk to Josh's house.
Yeah.
When we got to Josh's house, then we would make all the phone calls to the parents. You know, come pick me up at this time or that time or the other time.
Yeah.
So we would walk from the high school all the way across town to Eric Tiffany's house.
Yeah.
We would walk from Eric Tiffany's house to Kenny Rudin's house, which was totally on the other side of town. We would walk through the golf course, out the back door of Eric's house, through the golf course, across the train tracks, and up the back side of Kenny Rudin's neighborhood. And then we would walk up his driveway and into his house, rather than walk 5 miles around the proper way. But we did a lot of goofy stuff. We went to the beach in the middle of the night. We had a beach in Sands Point, Half Moon Beach it was called. And we would go there and light big bonfires on the beach. And at the time, you could drink at 18. So
you could drink at 18?
At 18. Then they changed it to 19. Then they changed it to 21. So when I was 20 and a half, they changed the drinking age to 21. So all of a sudden, I was illegal again for 6 months. But whatever. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I would feel bad for someone who would, like, they were, like, just, like, year. So, like, they would be 18, then they would change it to 19, and then the next year they just keep changing it and changing it.
Yeah, I think my friend Stephanie, who was one of the younger kids in the grade, I think she wasn't legal until she was 21 because it just changed on her way too early every single time. But yeah, we used to light fires on the beach and we'd hang out on the beach all night long sitting around the fire. It was a lot of fun. The police would come because you're not allowed to light bonfires on the beach.
But help.
The police would come down. They'd see the fire burning on the beach. They'd come down with shovels.
Did you have to put it out?
We'd have to put the fire out and then we would all kind of disperse. And when the police left, we would go back. We'd stoke our fire back up again.
Oh my God. So, like, did you go to a prom?
Yes. Yes. In Port Washington, they did not call the prom. They called it...
Homecoming?
Nope. No? They called it the gamble.
Oh, yeah. You told me
I don't know why they called it the gamble, but they called it the gamble. And way back then, I don't know why it was. It was 1983 when I graduated from high school and I went to the gamble.
Yeah.
And the gamble was always put on by the parents of the kids from your grade, right? So your own parents would put it on, right? Yeah. And it was always done in the high school gym.
Did they have like a theme?
Every gamble had a theme. And when you walked into the school, like it looked like a regular school. You walk up this massive flight of stairs and you go in this big front door and there's a huge lobby. And then you keep walking and way towards the back, there's the,
you know, the gym.
Big, you know, four double doors into the gym. And it was the same as every other high school. Lockers, wooden doors, linoleum floors or whatever. But on the night of the gamble, right? It was always the same day as graduation. So we would go to graduation in the morning. Then everybody went home and did hair, makeup, and outfits and pre-parties. And then we would go to the gamble. But when you walked in the door of the high school, you were no longer in the high school. It was always transformed in such a creative, over-the-top way that you wouldn't even recognize you were in the high school gym. It was always so beautiful. And our theme was A Night in Venice. So there were gondolas everywhere and those big flags and stuff that they have on poles, like the red and white poles from Italy that, you know, that they have, I don't know, around Venice. I've never been there. But it was beautiful. Oh, they made the ceiling all look like twinkling night sky. It was spectacular. You would never even know you were in the gym, and everybody was always so taken aback when they walked in and saw it. It was really nice. So I went to the gamble with Eric Tiffany, who was my high school sweetheart, and he had this really crappy car. I can't remember what it was, but it was awful. So my mother let us drive her 1979 or 80 Chevy Caprice Classic. So
was that like a good car at the time?
It was all right. It was an okay car. It was a Chevy. But It was massive. The car was huge, like a boat. And the cars back then were huge. So we drove to the gamble in Mima's car. Mm-hmm. And
did you drive?
I don't. Or did Grandma drive? No, Grandma didn't drive. I think I drove up to Eric's house and I picked him up.
You picked him up?
Yeah, and I remember not wanting to wear my seatbelt because I was wearing a black cocktail dress and it had some, like, frilly tulle around here, and I didn't want it to get crushed by the seatbelt.
Yeah.
So I left the seatbelt off and I backed the car out of the driveway. And Eric's uncle, who was a plastic surgeon, came out of the house and was like, "You better put that seatbelt on. Do you know how many kids' faces I've had to put back together because of the seatbelt?" And, you know, and I was like, "Okay, I'll wear the seatbelt." He was like, Eric was like, "Put the seatbelt on." I put the seatbelt on. We backed out of the driveway, drove up the top of the street, and I took the seatbelt off. And we only had to go another mile and a half to school, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
What did you... Oh, wait.
What did I wear to the prom, to the gamble?
Yeah, I just remember that you already told me.
I wore a knee-length black dress. It had little tiny spaghetti straps and whatever kind of material. It was kind of shimmery, but it was beautiful. It was tight, and then it had this, like, ruffle. It was a ruffle across the top, and then just these little tiny spaghetti straps. It was a very, very simple dress, and I had these black pumps that I loved, and... I loved that dress, and I was so, I had such a good feeling about that dress because Grandma took me to Great Neck, mm-hmm. to this fancy dress shop to get this dress, and I took one look at the price tag. I put the dress on, and I came out of the dressing room, and Mima said, "That's the dress." Mm-hmm. And I said, "I really love this dress." And then...
How much was it?
I looked at the price tag and I went, "Oh, forget it." I said, "Ma, forget it. This dress is way too much money." And Mima looked at the price tag and she went, "No, we could get it." And I was shocked.
How much was it?
I almost started to cry in the dress shop. The dress was $200. And to me, it was like $200,000. Because that was a lot of money for Grandma to spend on a dress for me. So that was a great day. I'll never forget getting that dress with Mima.
Okay. So if you could go back to, like, to relive your teenage years, would you do it?
Oh, yeah. I had a great time. Yeah. I had really good friends in high school, and we had a great time. I think back then in the early 80s, in the very early 80s, I think that the world was different. Some of the craziness that's going on now, we were in like a little bit of a, like a cove away from all of the, you know, there was whatever kind of badness was going on in the world did not affect what we were doing in the early 80s in high school. You could travel freely and not worry about where you were going. There were things going on in other countries, in Northern Ireland and England and stuff, that my family was kind of aware of what was going on. But over here, there was nothing that, like, it was unfathomable that anybody would blow anything up in the United States. Mm-hmm. We felt so safe and so protected here that nothing could ever happen in the United States because we were the most powerful, best country on the planet. And who wouldn't want to be us or live in our country? And who would want to hurt us was ridiculous. So we had so much less security at airports. You could just go right in.
You could just, like, walk in and just go on your flight?
I could go down to the gate with Dad before his flight, and I could sit with him at the gate and watch him walk onto the plane. Hmm. Now you can't get anywhere near the departure lounge of an airport. You can't go near that unless you have a ticket and you've gone through security.
Well, do you have to have a ticket to go...
you have to have a ticket now. Mm. Like, years ago, I used to be able to walk right down to the gate with Dad and sit next to him till they called him for his flight. Oh. Up here at Westchester County Airport.
The tiny little one?
Yeah. When I first started dating Dad, I would go and pick him up at that airport, and I could park the car and walk onto the tarmac and wait for him. And he would get off the plane with his bag in his hand and we'd go.
Yeah.
Now that airport is much bigger and there's a lot of drama. You can't park, you can't stop, because, you know, security, security, security.
So is that it?
What else? What other questions do you have?
I think that's it.
Think that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was what it was like for me being a teenager and when I met Dad.
Okay.
Good.